Good afternoon, comrades, and welcome to the May 2017 edition of Poet Radio. I'm Chris, and I host the program monthly here on WGXC. This afternoon in the Hudson studio, the distinguished pleasure to host Alan Sondheim and Azure Carter, who are visiting at present from Providence, and they're passing through the town and region and different places this week. Alan, how's it going?
I have no idea how to answer that, except for the fact that I've had severe allergies, so...
Yeah, join the club.
Yeah, if I'm reading or doing a reading, it might be sounding like I actually am more intelligent than I am, because my voice will be deeper and more gravelly.
Okay, well, I'll try to do most of the talking at present then. We opened up the show with a cut off of a new CD from February 2017. CD is titled Limit, and the track was AACBB. The CD features Alan Sondheim, Azure Carter, and Luke Damrosch. So maybe get a little closer to the microphone, and we'll and you want to say anything about the
sure,
CD?
This is the first album. I've done 17 albums, which have been either on the earlier ones on cassette tape, then on LPs, and this, and then most of the stuff has been on CDs, or this is also on Bandcamp. Anyway, it's works with Luke Damrosch's programming in Super Collider, according to some ideas that I had about time reversal. And the idea of this album was, on every piece this happens, that when you play something forward, in other words, you're recording something, you can then play it backwards and add reverb, and then when you play it forwards again, it sounds strange, the reverb sort of goes into the notes, so it'll like go like that. What's happening with this is that we're trying to do it in real time, which is impossible, because we're trying to have a way to have the note appear as if it's gathered from within the entire room, as if the room itself is speaking and then producing the note. So the note comes afterwards. You can't do that without breaking basic laws, the fundamental laws of physics. So what we're doing instead is working with a complicated system of buffering to try to approximate that, to try to reach a limit where it's going to appear as if it's backwards. Not the actual sounds of the notes. In other words, if Azure sings hello, it'll come out hello. But the echo, the reverberation, will come as if the room itself is speaking. So this is as much a product of the rooms it was recorded in as it is of the actual sound that we're making, either with voice or instruments or whatever.
Very interesting. Listeners of the program may wonder why we are starting off with the program Poet Radio with a discussion about music, but that's because Alan is a multimedia artist, an amazing musician, a writer and theorist, poet. He's
works in virtual worlds.
Works in Second Life and in the cave environment. He's been doing interactive and performance art, body art, with dancers for a long time. I know his work partly through my research in electronic literature and digital poetry, where Alan was doing interactive work in as early as 1970, as far as I remember, with the hypercubes, and you've done poems on calculators,
word generators, poem generators,
processors, and processing. And he's one of the, I would have to say, founders of a type of writing, poetic writing called code work, which is still roaring to this day, as far as I can tell. Yeah. So, and he's done a lot of, net art, net criticism. I mean, I first learned of Alan's work when my dissertation advisor kept saying, you got to read this guy, Alan Sondheim. He's publishing 20 poems a day online. And anyway, the printouts are handed to me, and then a few years later, sure enough, hook up with Alan. Alan and I have collaborated a few times together musically, absolutely, and we've performed together, and we were part of the Under Academy College. Let's not forget. So anyway, Alan's an independent artist, not affiliated with university, and he is a poet on top of all these other things, who was you were associated with, you were in New York many, many years, most of your life, right, in New York City?
Yes.
And you...
hopefully I still am.
Yeah, hopefully you're still there.
I'm still there.
Very good, and collaborated with many, many artists. Not to get too digressive, maybe we should turn to your poems. And one of the things that makes Alan's appearance here, though passing through, relevant to the program in a way, is that in 1988, he published a book with Station Hill Press out of Barrytown. And so I asked him to bring a copy. He located one. Maybe say a couple words about the book and read from it, Alan?
Yeah, the book is called Disorders of the Real. I did another book later called Orders of the Real. Disorders of the Real is about when language is disordered or disorderly or wayward or contrary, and at the same time it's tethered somehow to traditional languaging, and so there's an attempt, which I continue to this day, whatever medium I'm working in, to deal with philosophical issues using language. So I'm not sure it's poetry, I'm not sure what it is, but it was published anyway by Station Hill Press, thanks to George Susan Quasha, and I can read a piece out of it. Because I'm having bad allergies, this is just a piece that deals with how sickness takes over. I'm fascinated by the fact that philosophers will write with undue clarity when they're feeling well, and it's very rare that a philosopher will write under the aegis of sickness to the extent where the sickness dominates the writing, the illness dominates the writing, and the writing, in fact, becomes a different kind of writing and a different kind, I don't want to use the word truth, but a different kind of world, a different kind of habitus emerges out of that. The only person I can think of who really did that was Levinas in Existence and Existence, who wrote about extreme insomnia that forms part of the basis of his book. Anyway, so this is this was written, it's called The Sickness Five. There's obviously five sections in here, and The Sickness Five was written when I was really sick and unable to function with a high fever. I'm not even sure which city I wrote this in because I've lived all over, but I think this was somewhere between Dallas, Texas and Atlanta, Georgia. So The Sickness Five. All this stupid thing does is sit around and watch TV. That's the first line. It always forgets what it's talking about. Half its mind is gone. That's another line. It just had its temperature raised to hell and back. It just had an ear smash. That's something. It just can't hear the high notes. It can't tell where the low notes are coming from. That's one of them. It watches its body collapsing each time a breath is expelled. Someone has to remind it to breathe, that's whatever. It gets sick at night, it can't remember where it comes from, that's it. It misses the point, it can't remember what it was you said just a moment ago, Chris. That's maybe what it meant. It can't even make a point, it just writes and writes and makes errors, errors, not points. That's a line or two. The stupid errors aren't even of interest, it forgets what's interesting, remembering nothing. Crying with a dumb nostalgia that doesn't mean anything at all. That's the first line. It got this nostalgia for TV, all that drivel about the war and what war. There's always wars going on. All that nonsense about riot and revolution. That's what. It can't even rot. It doesn't have enough mind left for the rot of it. That's not even the truth. It just had a bloody hot fever, remembers the fever. Whatever that had been, wherever. Isn't nothing at all, isn't the first or the second, isn't meaning anything, isn't ahead or anything at all.
Was that cough in there part of the performance or of sickness?
I don't know. It seemed appropriate at the time.
All right, good. I think we'll leave it in just as a,
oh, I expect you
an emblem of...
Yeah. Whatever comes in the reading is what's in the reading.
Good. Are we good with the disorders of the real? Is that good enough for today?
Oh, no, we'll do more, but because I went over it and I found a gold mine of strangeness in it.
Oh, good.
But I think what we should do is maybe have Azure sing and I will play the viola. This is like a song and dance team.
Oh, that's good. That's fine. As I mentioned earlier, Azure Carter is here, and Azure has done several records by now with Alan and does the vocals and composes and what have you. So let's tilt that microphone over there down just a little bit again, a little bit more. Okay, that should be good. And
well, let me talk a little bit about this. Both of us worked with Fufua de Mobilité, who at one point was the lead dancer with Merce Cunningham, and I've been to many, many Cunningham performances, obviously when he was still alive. The company disbanded after he died. And one of the things that fascinated me was that you could have music that you didn't have to listen to before you danced, and then I thought, well, that's interesting. You can also have music that you don't have to listen to when you sing or do anything else. And this also, of course, relates to free jazz. So when I play the viola, it's sort of accompanying Azure. I play, at this point, about 40 instruments, but on this is this viola. And the viola is played vertically. It's tuned to an Arabic scale. I think I have it FB, something like that. FB sharp, maybe? FB sharp. And so you've got fourths and fifths that you're dealing with. And playing it vertically allows you to do a lot more hand stretching and strangeness up the neck without basically breaking your arm. Okay.
There's also a relation to literature, because almost all of my songs originally started as pieces of writing that Alan produced.
Very good. We'll look forward to hearing this. You're listening to WGXC in 90.7 FM in Hudson.
Okay, I'll start. Which one is this?
Harbinger.
Give me the first three notes.
Everything.
Oh, okay.
Teeth and won't allow me near it. The music is a thief and harbinger of evil. I think about how violent and violating it is. He gets up from the music. She gets down to the music. She gets up from the music. He gets down to the music. Everything in my life won't allow me near it. Everything turns violent and plays my skin. I do is try to wear the musing. She gets up from the musing. He gets down to the musing. He gets up from the musing. She gets down to the musing. My skin is an instrument. My skin is misshapen. My skin is an instrument of space and time. I think about how it screams when I try to play it. He gets up from the music. She gets down to the music. She gets up from the music. Gets down to the music. Everything I do is grotesque, misshapen. The sooner I get to space and time, the better. The music screeches in my mind, I remember. She gets up from the music. He gets down to the music. He gets up from the music. She gets down to the music. He gets up from the music. She gets down to the music.
Talking earlier about the reverse feedback, but I tell you, Alan, it's hearing music like that, I'm not so sure we need to have that here today. It was very nice, very nice. Azure Carter and Alan Sondheim performing in WGXC studio this morning on Poet Radio. That piece was called Harbinger. Yeah, anything you want to say, Azure? No? Okay. Very nice, a beautiful performance. Alan, so you've pulled up the disorders again.
Yeah, there's a number of disorders. I'm trying to figure out how to... I have just tiny little places.
You heard the train, right? You had the unexpected accompaniment, and there was
it
one...
the train.
Then the building was shaking. But did listening back, you'll hear that there was one time when the train whistle blew, and it was like it was unison. It belonged right in that piece, so... Anyway, back to the poetry, Alan Sondheim.
Okay, this is a piece called Nonetheless Air. It's late at night and the radio is on. The hurricane is coming closer to the shore. Its eye watches from the air, from the screen of the television set. The radio is counting. The radio is beginning by announcing ob. By beginning ob, it is the count which is beginning. The radio continues by substituting ob for ob. It is the substituting which is beginning, and not the announcing of the substituting, which is not announced. The hurricane is almost reaching the shore, and the substituting is continuing to occur. It's becoming later. Lights in the sky and the radio's continuing. Radio's beginning to count. It's substituting ob for ob, or it's substituting ob for b. It is substituting ob for ob whenever necessary, and ob for b whenever necessary, and they're becoming the same, whatever is necessary for substituting. It's necessary for substituting ob for ob whenever ob occurs, or becoming the same, necessary for substituting ob for b whenever b occurs. The storm's almost moving, almost reaching the shore, and the radio's continuing. The radio's continuing to count. The radio's counting late at night. Ob, 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 and the counting is drawn out on the radio. Ob, 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 and the counting's continuing and sounding. The hurricane's almost moving, almost continuing to move, almost reaching the shore. The radio is counting.
How's the radio counting? Just, is it proto-artificial intelligence or something?
It has to do actually with fractal sequences I was working on at the time.
That makes sense. Very good. You've done, I remember you, at one point you were doing things with radio crystals or radio art. That was at iBeam or something?
Yeah, I was working with very low frequency radio. But at iBeam, I was working with crystal radios from around 1915, 1917. And this was on 22nd Street, New York, West 22nd. And there was a window show that I had there.
Right,
at
I remember.
The time, and that had all of these antique radios going simultaneously, and I found a way to have them produce numerous stations all together, so you were kind of getting a sort of vision of the ionosphere at the time.
Right, right. All right, well, great, cool. Here we are back on the radio.
Absolutely.
All right.
I'll do one more read, and then maybe... I was thinking of our president, who I really don't want to name.
Fine.
But at the same time, when I was reading this book, it seemed it had a lot to do with the president.
Oh, okay. All right.
With America.
It's funny how that happens. I was also just yesterday looking at animation I made almost 10 years ago. And it was for something I did around the time Obama was inaugurated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sure, the part that was about Obama wasn't relevant, but the part that was about the president... Mm-hmm. It's still relevant. I mean, president is an idea that doesn't, you know, necessarily change.
Well, for me, it changed big time.
Well, of course, it changed on the ground. It changed in the media, but the maybe our own individual concepts of what the president is. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, there's this sort of ideal or
there's not for me anymore.
No. Maybe me neither. But, you know, say if one has ideals, the president should be dot, dot, dot.
No, but I don't have... I'm just saying, I think the difference is I don't have those ideals.
Right, anymore. Right, right. Well, it's hard. Okay, Alan Sondheim.
It's called Criminal America.
I
was thinking of this
no
also
wonder you're
because
thinking
of
it.
Claire's and Jeff's Special America.
Oh, yeah.
Criminal... Should I start?
Sure.
Okay. Criminal America. Criminal America was the name of a man or woman who lived over a century ago. Not much in the way of poetry. There was not much in the way of poetry as the enormous sign, I can't read this, as the enormous sonnet tunneled through the highways and byways of literature. Just the opposite. Balder the Just would have attacked Odin the Lusty, but it was just the opposite. Criminal America, just the have-nots have a murderous attack. Just the have-nots for a murderous attack against the filthy rich. Not much in the way of poetry. There's no time for poetry when you have to smash the fucking administration for the crimes they've committed by starving the poor into sickness and death. Just the opposite. Everything in this goddamn nation is just the opposite of what you've been told, and you better act now before we're thrown into concentration camps again. Criminal America, this country has diseased itself for the crimes it's inflicted on the homeless around the world. Dripping with blood, it's a scourge of all humanity. Not much in the way of poetry. Everywhere in America, we can speak out against injustice, even though prison riots seem the only way to improve conditions for a small number of people. Just the opposite. I can't write about this anymore. It's no use. It doesn't even come out interesting. Whatever's going on, I don't understand it. And you have to take it from here, which I'm sure you figured out anyway.
Totally relevant. Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. So, shall we do a second music piece?
Yeah, sure. Good okay. to go. We're all set.
I must explain an interesting problem I'm having, which is when I bow, if I'm not careful with the bow, it bumps into a music stand. So I'm fascinated. No, just please leave it there, because I'm fascinated by the
constraints.
The constraints and exigencies of Studio architecture here that I'm dealing with.
Well, I could easily move the music stand.
Yeah, that makes it too simple.
It's just such an ordinary music stand. Why should we let it get in the way? I mean, if it was like pink or something, then that would be different.
You know, from the point of view of being a music stand, or being music stand, as Deleuze and Guattari might have said, there is no ordinary.
No, all right. It's going to stay. If you're keeping score at home, the music stand is to Alan's right elbow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That sounds Sondheim playing the viola here in WGXC's Studio B. Azure Carter singing a poem about screen testing the desert. I guess maybe just leave that to your imagination, right? But I get it. I get it. You know, sometimes, well, in TV, we get programs where landscape really is the star, actually, like these Alaska shows. And I don't know, I was recently watched a Jane Campion TV show about, it was called Top of the Lake.
Yeah, that's great.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
And but that was like, okay, the characters were, you know, somewhat quirky and interesting, but the landscape killed it.
Right? Well, I free associate a lot with all these songs, so whatever you get out of them.
Right, very good, very good. So Alan's got a book in his hand. You want to read a little bit more?
Sure. I'll read one last section from this. I also have another book, A Dot Echo, with me.
Very great.
How are we on time?
We got at least 20 more minutes, so we're good. Alan Sondheim reading Disorders of the Real.
I'm just going to read a few aphorisms that are in here. Take it as far as you can, then leave the you at home. Exhaustion eliminates the adverb, frenzy awakens it. Suck sex like the open wound it is. The erotic's an excuse for the enumeration of organs. Leave the gap for the fire on the other side. Where there's fire, there's smoke. The cloth of words suffocates the mouth. Bite God and the loincloth falls to pieces. The mediocre corrupts at a distance. If you cut out their tongues, you continue to talk forever. If you cut out their tongues, they continue to talk forever. Balk at the righteous. It's only a refugee who lives in his own house. The alpha and omega of existence is the shortest distance between two points. The opposition of the same is the same. Nothing's a metaphor. Obsession breeds quantity. Quantity obsesses. Scarcity increases demagoguery. I'm left speechless. Okay. Just a few. Yeah.
Aphorisms by Alan Sondheim. Another book you have there? Echo?
Dot Echo. It was published by Alt-X.
And what's going on in this book?
More writing.
Oh, really? It's shocking. I don't know. It could be pictures.
No pictures in this book. This book is based on a lot of stuff I was doing on the net around 1996 through maybe, when did this come out?
Knowing all the processes you've used.
Through 2001, so it's about that. And there's parables of Nikiko. Nikiko is a character that I invented and worked with on Moos and Muds and in Virtual Worlds. And she's very much influenced by the Kojiki, primary Japanese Shinto text. And so these are parables of Nikiko, which Azure also sang some of these, or recited some of these, and Fufa Demobilite, the dancer we worked with, also presented these as dance pieces. So I'll just read a couple of these. One day Nikiko was walking by the banks of a raging river. She was reading the Diamond Sutra and stepped dangerously near the shoreline. A passing monk came up to her and said, "Please be careful, or you'll drown." Nikiko said, "The Diamond Sutra will save me." The monk said, "The Diamond Sutra has never saved anyone." He grabbed the scroll from her and threw it in the river. Nikiko, furious, jumped in after it, and with much difficulty brought it back to shore. The monk said, "On the other hand, everyone saves the Diamond Sutra." There was once a lion who terrorized the villages of southern Kyushu. Nikiko was walking near Kirishimayama one day, hoping for enlightenment. The more she hoped, the farther she walked, and the farther she walked, the more hopeless her condition. Mired in emotion, she vanquished the lion in a dreamlike state from which she never recovered. Now enlightened, she continued her terrorization of the villages, plundering, raping, and murdering without cause, with great effect. She knew there were no lions. There's a pause while I find one of the other ones I wanted to read. Izanagi said to her, "Something is missing here." Nikiko replied, "Nothing's missing. Either I'm the east or nothing is the east. Either I am the south or nothing is the south." Izanagi said, "Nikiko, you'd better stop singing. If you eat up all the songs, there will be nowhere to go, and everyone will be in your way." From that moment on, Nikiko sang all four songs over and over again till there were many norths, many souths, many wests, and many easts, each to her own. Later she said, "Now everyone is lost and no one will find their way back." Izanagi replied, "You have just created death, Nikiko." They continued on their journey, i.e. no one knew their destination.
I'd like to try to stop just for a second and try to give the listeners a sense of how many pieces Nikiko may have appeared in. Thousands, right?
Well, the parables are about 50, 60 of them. And then there was also video, and there were also still images, and there was also performances in Second Life. And I think, for that matter, there were performances also in Open Sim, and also in Moos and in MUDS,
right,
which are early text-based virtual reality spaces. So she was also doing a lot of stuff in Internet Relay Chat, interfering with other people, deliberately interfering with other people in the chat.
And was this you see Nikiko as a sort of proto bot or something?
The word translates in a way as meat girl, and I saw her as a demiurge, as, in other words, somebody whose power destroyed the symbolic, destroyed the symbol, whatever she did, wherever she was, whatever platform she was performing on. I the ELIZA program?
Sure.
This was an early program, for those who don't know, an early program that it starts off with, "I am a psychoanalyst," I think, and then you tell your problems to it and it answers based on what you're saying. It was a real simple substitution, early artificial intelligence program, and I took the program, which was written in something called Emacs Lisp, and I rewrote it so it starts off saying, "I am Nikiko," and then it goes on into a kind of insane dialogue that gets more murderous and problematic as it goes on, no matter what you're saying and in relationship to what you're saying. So she's been used in a lot of ways, but I sort of think of her somewhat related to Shiva, for example, related to the sun god, the Japanese sun god, you know, a whole constellation of things. I never thought of her as a bot, but I thought of a bot as her, maybe.
Very good. But you can maybe understand why I'm, you know, postulating that, just because, you know, she was this. You've done work with avatars. I mean, maybe it would be more appropriate to think of her as an avatar.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, especially in the Second Life. There was a manifestation.
I'd rather think of her as a real person who occupied Second Life.
Oh, all right.
She was troubling to
cyborg.
Me. And the more she was troubling to me, the more I wanted to work with it.
Very good. Well, thanks for reading those, and good to have the opportunity to bring that part of your work up, I think. Well, it looks like we have maybe 15 more minutes here.
Let's do another.
We'll do some more music.
One last piece. Do you want to say something about Credo?
Go ahead, Az.
I don't think it kind of matters because... no, I mean, you had your own ideas when you wrote them. I had my own ideas of what they were. Whatever anyone hears, and also I feel like it's such a huge digression if I were to say what I thought all the pieces were about. this one, I think I was reading some Thich Nhat Hanh, and I saw it as kind of a chant, like a Buddhist chant.
Great. Alan has changed instruments from viola to the ukulele, if you couldn't tell.
I love playing ukulele, I should say. One of the things I really like about it is that it looks like a child's toy, but you can do absolutely amazing things on it. And I was saying to Chris before, and if you ever play uke, spend a lot of money on one or steal one that is a really good one, because if you don't, you're never going to enjoy playing it. You want one that you can play all the way up the neck and even near the sound hole if you want. So...
will do.
Of the
Maybe total coincidence, but the three pieces you performed here today are one each from these three CDs that you brought in as well.
It's a coincidence.
It's a coincidence. But I noticed that, for instance, on that piece, which is
the last song on Avatar Woman.
Alan doesn't even play ukulele on that. So on that record, it's not listed anyway. So it's got to be a completely different version, yeah? Or
well, also, I didn't mention to you the other day, to me, in my mind, the songs are kind of fixed. I hear them in my head. But I was surprised the other day we pulled out Avatar Woman and I sing the song a lot faster, which now I don't like. And that's because we've done this song Credo so many times with the new soft reverse reverb software. And I've slowed up to try and play into the reverb.
Uh-huh.
So for me now the song is a lot slower. So I was surprised to go back and listen to the earlier version.
This is all, what I'm doing is completely improvised. In order to do this again, it would be, I'd be doing something entirely different. And I brought these instruments, we're traveling, and I brought a flute, a ukulele, chromatic harmonica, and viola are all Western instruments, but I haven't been playing much Western instrument recently at all, except for the viola. I've been playing sarangi, actually, and using sarangi, and I'm hoping to do something, release something with sarangi on it sometime soon. I don't know. It's in the back of my mind.
Well, these records that I mentioned, one is titled Avatar Woman, Limit, we heard at the beginning of the show, and Threnody, Shorter Discourses of the Buddha, also with Luke Damrosch and Alan and Azier. I don't know much about Public Eyesore, but that's the label these are on, and the years aren't listed. I know this one is at least 2 or 3 years old, Avatar Woman.
Avatar Woman's the oldest of those.
And these are
Threnody's
more...
Threnody's the middle one.
Threnody was probably last year, something like that.
All right.
Public Eyesore puts out a lot of experimental avant-garde jazz. They have Nils Klein has recorded with them, whole bunches of people.
Right.
I really like the label.
Right.
A lot, and they've been wonderful with me. So recently I've been recording with both them and ESP again. ESP
right.
disc.
Right, right.
I have a album coming out with Stephen Dido that's we're both playing chins.
Mm.
The gu chin is a chin. A gu chin means old chin, but or antique chin, but it's the gu chin or chin. It's a 7-string Chinese instrument that has no frets. It's a very long, board-like construction, and it's played by stopping the strings with your left hand on the board or playing harmonics, and the right hand does the plucking. It's fairly complex, but it sounds gorgeous.
No, I remember that instrument from your place in Brooklyn. I think you and I played with it a few times, you playing that and me playing something else.
The one I have is Stephen... had it roughly dated to I think it's the Qin Dynasty. It's between 200 and 400 years old, probably.
Amazing. Yeah, fragile. No wonder you don't have it on the road.
No, I actually have taken it places. I have a hard shell case for it, but that's I prefer not to move it around too much.
Well, it's great to hear you play at any rate, whatever instrument you're playing. Huge pleasure to have you on the program. Thought I should mention to listeners who are maybe just becoming aware of your work with text that Alan has this massive, and I mean truly massive, archive going for decades now on the internet called Internet Text. Hand out the URL for that. What's the website for Internet Text?
It's all www.alansondheim.org. I think it's org.
Right, and it's a very interesting arrangement where, you know, whereas most authors in an index will list the titles or organize it, there'll be some sort of hierarchy. With Alan, it's file names.
That's all there is, yeah, it's just file names.
It's huge. I mean, an amazing subject of my research across many years. So there's that. You can hear lots of Alan's recordings online as well, old and new.
Can I read one more quick, short Nikoko piece?
Yeah, according to the clock, I'd say we have about 2.5-3 minutes left. Okay. Is that good?
Yeah, this is fine.
This has been, let me close by saying this is Pod Radio, WGXC 90.7 FM. My guests today have been Azure Carter and Alan Sondheim. A great pleasure to have them on the program. Take it away.
Don't get me started. I'm tired of your complaining, Nikoko. You'd better watch it, young lady. You can't pull the wool over everyone's eyes. Mom, I'm not trying to do anything. You're always picking on me. Just leave me alone, will you? Take it easy for crying out loud. You're asking for it, Nikoko. Don't try my patience, Nikoko. One of these days I'm going to snap. Stop your whining this instant, Nick. Mom, just shut up for a while. Watch your tongue, young lady. Mom, you're always picking on me. Just get out of my sight, Nikoko. Mom, you're just so horrible. Thank you.
How are you?
I will.